Welcome to Beside the Burn for Monday, the 7th of September 2020. Yesterday we began a new series in church entitled Prism, and the subtitle for that is Perspectives from the Pandemic Experience. And throughout this week, we're going to delve a little deeper into some of the themes that were introduced in our worship service yesterday. The idea behind prism is that a prism is a glass block. Whenever light enters at one side, it is then refracted as it goes through the block, and it emerges into all the different colours of the rainbow, the spectrum. And the idea is that as light comes in, it is then split apart and we see all the different parts of it. And so prism is going to help us shine a light in our lives and see how all the different parts of life fit together, especially in the aftermath of the pandemic and as we continue to go through the pandemic. Throughout the week, we're going to develop some of those themes, and beside the burn is the opportunity just to simply stop and to take stock, to sit down by the quiet waters and allow God to restore our soul. One of the advantages of coming out of lockdown and coping with all the restrictions that are still in place is that we can reevaluate what we've always done, and we can change things so that they work better in the new circumstances. With only being able to meet physically once a week at the moment, we've got this opportunity to focus on one theme throughout the whole week. What we look at on a Sunday, we can then develop during the week, starting off on the Sunday, developing deeper as the week goes on. Each morning on the blog, you'll find a short devotional, this one, in video form, which will focus on God's word and provide perhaps some questions which you can ponder yourself. And then hopefully in this whole Bible study experience, you can then talk to someone else about it. And that can either be online or in person, depending on what the restrictions are. There are restrictions on the numbers of people who can meet indoors in each other's homes, but perhaps you could meet a friend for a chat and talk about some of the themes that we've looked at, or perhaps even join us online on a Wednesday to listen to what others say. We're planning to meet on a Wednesday in a Zoom call. And if you'd like to be part of that, send me a message at the church email address, burnsidechurch@gmail.com, and I will send you a link to a Zoom meeting that will take place on Wednesday at 2 o'clock. And the idea is that we just get together, having listened to the message on Sunday, having listened to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday morning devotionals, and then talk through some of these issues. So this week our theme is returning. And we're looking at the parable of the lost son, or the parable of the prodigal son, perhaps as it's better known to us, or the parable of the loving father. And you can go back and you can listen to the sermon from Sunday. There'll be a link down below to that sermon. You can listen to Eric Leslie reading the passage from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 24. Eric actually reads all of the passage up to verse 31 to find out about the other brother as well. And then also you'll find in the blog today an extra sermon, not by myself, but by someone else, based on this passage, just looking at it from a different angle and helping us all the time to look at God's word and to find out what God is saying to us. You can also download the first study sheet for this week, and I'll be referring to it throughout the week, so you might find it useful to look at the PDF online and then find out what we're doing. And I want to read just the introduction at the start of page one, where it says, "Time to take stock." The coronavirus, it seemed to appear out of the blue and quickly forced the world into shutdown. It sent many aspects of life that we had taken for granted into meltdown. Church life as we know it went into lockdown. It may well be the most cataclysmic event any of us will ever live through. The full impact and after effects are not yet fully calculated, but the time for life to return to a new normality has arrived as we gradually gather ourselves together again. As we find ourselves returning to recommence the daily routines of our everyday lives and church life once again, what does that feel like? What might we see with fresh eyes? What have we learned? What might we decide to do differently, to do with greater vigour, or perhaps not do at all? So if you haven't read the passage yet, pause now and go and read it, or pause now and listen to Eric reading it. As we say here, do so, listen carefully, pay attention to the details, reflect on how things feel at different parts of the story, and then let the story link into your soul. And if you want to turn to page 2 of the study guide, we're going to look at this section of parallels and patterns. And first of all, today, parallels, and tomorrow we'll look at the second half of page 2, the patterns. And the idea with parallels is that we line up the story alongside our recent experience of living through the coronavirus pandemic. And we're going to look at a couple of these questions to help us identify and talk about some parallels. As we look at the story of the prodigal son, there are things that are very similar in this story to our experience through a pandemic. And then there are other things which contrast that experience and are very different. So as you can see here, we see the younger son in the story was discontented with life in his father's house. You can look in at verse 12 to see what it says there. And then we've got this question, how has the coronavirus exposed some of our previous discontent with a life in which we had so much for which to be thankful? And this is a moment just to stop and think about what life was like. Think about the things that we now miss from that previous life, and think about some of the things that we don't miss from that previous life. What did we complain about before lockdown that now we really long to get doing again? Do we miss those things? Are there things that perhaps we don't miss at all and we're glad to get rid of and we're worried about them coming back again? Now is a time for us to evaluate life. The younger son who went off and left his father's house and lived life the way that he wanted to live life came to that stark realization that there was a big problem with the way that he'd chosen to live life. And he needed to come to his senses and he needed to return to his father. And so we've got this opportunity that in a life that used to be busy and jam-packed and there used to be so much going on that we didn't have time for anything, we've now got this situation whereby we can look carefully at what has happened and we can look at what God is wanting us to do and we can say to God, well, look, do you want me to change? What do you want me to change? How do you want me to change? As we see here, the son who stayed in the story soon found that doing what he had always wanted, spending his time, money and life on pleasures, didn't satisfy, and he ended up leaving him desperately needy and lonely. And you can see that in verses 13 to 16. But how might this be similar to the discovery that having more time to ourselves and a greater dependency on digital communication turned out to be a mixed blessing at best? Maybe you've enjoyed this time of lockdown. You've enjoyed the quietness and the stillness. Even if you enjoyed it initially, perhaps you're now at the stage where you want to come out of it. You want to re-engage with people again. Maybe you have re-evaluated and you've thought to yourself, I don't want to just engage just quite as much as before. The stillness is important. The quietness is important. I need to factor that into life in this new normal, as they refer to it. And then have a think about other parallels that you can see between the story and your situation. Are there any other things that you see in this young man's life and in his rebellion and in his returning back to God again that mirror your feelings and your thoughts about your relationship with God and perhaps how you've become distant from God and need to return again. So that's just an initial introduction this morning into the story once again. Let's take a moment to consider these things and then let's pray to God together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're the one who loves us with this unconditional, undeserved love. We thank you that you stand and wait on us returning, even whenever we have strayed. Even, Lord, we may not perhaps have rebelled in a terrible way, but we recognize in our own lives little rebellions, little things that have caused us to be distant, little things that have taken us away from you. We repent of them today and we come back to you now, returning to you and seeking you once again. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn on Tuesday, the 8th of September. And today we're continuing our little series on PRISM and the idea of returning to God. And today, as we do that, we're realizing that we need to turn back to God. And we're doing that following the story of the prodigal son, primarily in Luke chapter 15. And then towards the end of the week, we're going to look at some other passages as well. On page one of the study sheet, which can be downloaded below, you'll see here that this question is asked, what words would you use to describe your feelings about life beginning to return to more familiar patterns as the restrictions resulting from the coronavirus pandemic begin to be relaxed? And I'm sure we all have all sorts of words and we have different experiences. Some of you will be looking forward to lockdown being lifted. Some of you are perhaps a little bit worried. Some of you are excited about the prospect. Some of you are concerned about health and about what all of this means. And so therefore, as we come to this passage, we're going to look at ourselves in the passage and we're going to see what we can learn about our relationship with God and how that applies to living in this world today. As it says here, returning is a frequent theme in the Bible. It's always a significant event, whether for individuals or the people of God as a whole. And on Thursday and Friday of this week, we're going to look at a couple of these other passages. On Thursday, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 32, and we're going to look at Jacob wrestling with God and holding on to him, searching for a blessing before coming back to his home again. And then on Friday, we're going to look at Psalm 126 and the people of God returning from exile in Babylon and coming with joy and having found that God was still with them, and with all the familiar trappings of temple and the well-worn practices of worship had been stripped away. But for now, as we did yesterday, we're going to concentrate on Luke chapter 15. We're going to look at the parable of the prodigal son. And we're going to see what God has to teach us from this passage today. And yesterday we looked at the parallels at the top of page 2 of the study guide. Today we're looking at the patterns at the bottom of page 2. And the advice here is to line up the story alongside your recent experience of living through the coronavirus pandemic. Use the questions below to help identify and talk about some patterns for living as followers of Jesus. And here we see that the distant son, the son who had left and gone his own way, is prompted to reassess his life and come to his senses by his experience of difficult circumstances. And we see that in verse 17. Then he began to think clearly again. He said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough food, but here I am dying from hunger?" And he realized that the choices that he had made had led him to this impossible situation where now life was no longer worth living. He had left his father to live the best life that he could imagine, to really live it up. And now that he had done that, he was in this terrible situation. And so he reassesses his life. Now, we have ended up in this pandemic, not necessarily through our own choices, but we've got this opportunity to reassess and to look. And so we're following this pattern of reassessing and looking at our relationship with God and seeing what we're missing out on and what we need to return to again. The question is, what patterns of life have the upheavals of the period of pandemic prompted you to reassess? Maybe there are things that you have looked at seriously and you've said, this can't go on. This is more than anything that I can cope with. I was blind the way I was living. I was just getting on and just going on. And sometimes, because life is busy and because there's lots of things happening, we just go into survival mode and we do enough to get through the day. And whenever we get to the end of the day, we breathe a sigh of relief. That's another day done. I've survived. I'll face tomorrow whenever it comes and I'll get on with that. But the pandemic has allowed us to stop and to think carefully about that survival technique and whether it's what we want to be doing for the rest of our lives. So perhaps we've got this opportunity now to reassess and to look carefully. And so that's what we need to do. Take a moment and reassess our lives and say, Lord, is this really what you want me to be doing? Is there any other way that I could be doing this? Is there a change that I need to make in life based upon what you would tell me? The returning son then is overwhelmed and he's encouraged by his father's welcome. He's encouraged by his father's forgiveness and joy at his return. You see that in verses 21 to 24. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer fit to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick! Bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals at his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. This son of mine was dead and now he is alive again. He was lost and now he is found. And so they began to celebrate. And you see there, those are the themes that we were thinking about a couple of weeks ago in Amazing Grace, of being dead and alive, of being lost and being found. How do we know the questions asked here? How do we know God in a new way as we experience his love afresh as individuals or a congregation having lived through the period of pandemic? What have we learned about ourselves as individuals or a congregation? As we return to church life together again, what needs to be confessed? In what new discoveries can we take confidence? And I think this is important. That, as I was saying on Sunday, we don't wait for other people to repent. We stop now and we repent of ourselves. We as individuals need to repent. We as the church need to repent. And then society needs to repent. But let's not get too caught up with society repenting. Let's start the repentance here in ourselves. If we want to see revival, we need the Holy Spirit to come and sweep through us and to point out our sins so that we turn back to God again. So let's do that. Let's see the pattern of this son who had strayed far away, coming back to God again and seeking him again. So let's ask that God would help us spot our sin and help us return to him and that we would see these patterns. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for a Father who loves us and welcomes us and is joyful at our return. And so, Lord, we come to you at this time to return to you. Help us, Lord, to repent of our sin. Help us to realize the mistakes that we have made and help us to realize the changes that need to be taken. Lord, we don't want to go back to living a life where we merely survive. We want to live a life that glorifies you. And so we seek you this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn for Wednesday, the 9th of September. And today we're continuing our series in Prism. And we are looking at the parable of the prodigal son once again. Today we're going to look at the third page of your Bible study handout, and if you have it, please do refer to it, maybe take some notes on it. You can also see it here on the screen as well. We've been looking already Monday and Tuesday at the parable, looking at it in a little bit more detail. And today we're going to look at this last page and see how this parable can change us and cause us to look at our lives differently again. So, as it says here, the possibilities that we have as we consider the parable. Take a moment to think about the initial impression this story has made upon you as you read it. What sticks in your mind? What do you particularly sense God prompting you to think more deeply about? Now, of course, this story is about rebellion. It's about leaving and rejecting and going away. And maybe you're in that position today where you have rejected God and you've gone away from him and you do need to return. But I think also this parable also talks about the unintentional, the accidental leaving of God, where we're trusting in God, we know God, we're relying upon him for salvation, but for whatever reason, life has dragged us away from him. We still would claim to believe him, we still would claim to rely upon him, but we realize that we're not as close to God as we once were. It's as though we've gone off into a foreign country to live. Because little by little, our lives have changed over the years and we're no longer as close to God as we once were. And so therefore, the parable encourages us to take stock, to pause, as we see here, to pause and take a moment. Take a moment and think about what God has done, or if you're with someone else at the moment, share with that person your sense of what God is saying to you or your congregation from your reflections on the story. Do you remember whenever Jesus went to the temple as a young boy and he was talking to the teachers there, and then it was time to go, and his mum and dad went with the crowd who had come along together, and they went off, and it was a few days before they realised that Jesus wasn't with them in the crowd, and they had to go back to the temple and they had to look for Jesus and find him again. And sometimes we can get into that very same position where we assume that Jesus is with us and it takes us a few days or a few weeks or maybe even a few years to realize that Jesus is no longer with us. And we just stop and turn around and go back and search for Jesus and make sure that he's with us again. Then the perspectives that we're asked to look at here. Prepare to share with others what impression God has made upon your heart. Do your best to put this into words. Maybe it will be the same as others. Maybe it will be different. Pay attention to the conversation that is about to start so that God can deepen and widen the impact of his word. Share with the whole group the lessons you think God is teaching you and your congregation through his word by his spirit. Again, you may be on your own, you may be with others, but think these things through. Pause and have a thought about it. You know, maybe think, I've been thinking about how much I disappoint God with the way that I live, my attitude to him. And last Friday, we were looking at Isaiah and that idea of waiting upon the Lord, putting our hope in the Lord, lingering in God's presence. And perhaps that's what we need to do more than anything else. We need to simply linger in God's presence, wait on him, and put our trust and our hope in him. And if you want to join us online with this study and in the Zoom call, then email me. I'll be able to share the link with you. And whenever we get together, this would be a good thing to share together. So we move on down the page. We come to this section about pathways to pursue, to talk and to pray about. The first one there is thinking. What has this story against the background of your experience of the period of the coronavirus caused you to think about again? Maybe thinking about how much God loves us, how much he cares for us, how much he longs for us to come back again. This whole idea of living, and what specific ways will that make you change the way you live as a follower of Jesus? How might it reshape an aspect of your congregation's life? Just take time to reflect. That moment of clarity that came to the younger son as he had lived his life the way that he wanted, and now he was feeding the pigs and he had nothing. And suddenly he understood where he fitted in. He suddenly understood what was important about his father. And we need that moment of clarity that we can see life as it really is and realise where we fit into God's plans. And then this idea of praying. Pray with others for strength to follow through on what God has taught you and the implications for your life as an individual, but then also as part of a congregation. We need to pray for others. Maybe just pick up the phone somebody that you know and pray with them over the phone, because it will make an impact on them, but it will make an impact on you as well. This past week, we had a prayer time together on Wednesday at 12 o'clock. And we just met on Zoom and we prayed together. And the encouragement that is just simply to pray for one another and to encourage one another. And again, if you'd like to be part of that prayer time, email me. I'll send you the link out this week and we can pray together and encourage one another. So as we move right down this promise and prayer at the very end, we've got this verse from Isaiah chapter 51, and it's all about exile. The Israelites, whenever they disobeyed God, they were exiled. They left Jerusalem. They left Israel. They were taken to foreign countries like Babylon or Egypt. And then whenever they'd repented and they come to their senses, they were brought back again. Those the Lord has rescued will return. There's a promise here. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. What a wonderful promise God gives us. So let's pray this final prayer together. Father God, who loves to gather your children to yourself at this time of return to everyday life and recommencement of the regular rhythms of church life, help us to acknowledge your rescuing hand, to know joy in our hearts, to feel sorrow and sadness subside, to better know your love, ourselves and your ways for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn for Thursday, the 10th of September, as we once again continue the theme of returning from the Prism Bible study. And again, remember that you have a handout for the week, and we're going to look at it again together today. And we're going back to page one again, because on page one, there were two further passages that were mentioned. We've been looking at the parable of the prodigal son all week, but there were two other stories that were mentioned. And we're going to look at one of them today, and we're going to look at the other one tomorrow, again with this theme of returning. And as we're told there on page one, returning is a frequent theme in the Bible. It's always a significant event, whether for individuals or the people of God as a whole. And so we need to realize in this period of returning to going outside again, returning to some form of normality, returning to church again, we're returning spiritually to God. And the first of the stories is about Jacob, and it's found in Genesis chapter 32. And Jacob here is about to return to his brother Esau. Now you remember that initially Jacob had to flee from Esau. After all, he had stolen his birthright. He had cheated him out of what was rightfully his, and therefore Esau was determined to get revenge. Esau was determined to try and kill Jacob. And so he had to leave, and he flew away. And he stayed for many years away. And in that intervening time, things changed. He married twice. He had a family. He gathered great possessions. And now he's returning again. Returning back home with his wives, with his children, with all his possessions. And he's coming back again, and he realizes that this is going to be a very significant time for him as he comes back to face all the problems that he'd created in the past, all the things that he'd run away from. And maybe there's things in your life that you've run away from, or you've hidden away, or you've tried to forget about. And maybe during this whole lockdown process, as if you've had time to think and to contemplate, these things have come forward in your mind again, and you realise that they need to be dealt with. And here Jacob, in this process of returning to his brother Esau, wrestles with God in Genesis 32. And he has this experience of wrestling with God and realising that he's not going to let go of God until God blesses him. So I want to read from Genesis 32 and read from verse 22 down to verse 32. And it's a passage entitled, Jacob Wrestles with God. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. Jacob was in God's presence, and he lingered there. He stayed there hoping on God, because he realized that he needed God more than anything else, and he needed God's blessing. And so he would not let go until he was blessed. Imagine if we could develop that in our lives, that we wouldn't let go of God, that we would hold on to him, that we would stay in his presence until we received his blessing. At the start of this whole lockdown period in Burnside, and indeed in the presbytery of Coleraine and Limavady, we were praying for revival. We were praying for revival every day. We were praying for three friends every day, that they would come to know God as Saviour. I wonder, have we kept doing that? Have we kept praying for revival? Have we held on to God, not letting go of him until he brings revival through his Holy Spirit? This is what returning is all about, that we return to God and we know him and we hold on to him and we receive his blessing. So let's bow before him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who meets us. And Lord, so often we just take that privilege for granted and we speak casually to you and then we move on. But Jacob here wrestled. He held on. He would not let go until he received the blessing. And so, Lord, that is our prayer today, that you would bless us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn once again, as we come together around God's Word to meet with Him and to receive refreshment and restoration for our souls. Today is Friday, the 11th of September, and we're following through this Prism Bible study once again. Yesterday we looked at Genesis chapter 32, and today we're going to look at Psalm 126, again taking this theme of returning that we've been looking at all week. And as it says here, the people of God returned from exile in Babylon with joy, having found that He was still with them when the familiar trappings of the temple and well-worn practices of worship had been stripped away. You remember on Sunday, we ended the service with the heart of worship, wondering what worship would be like if we took everything away. What is the most basic action whenever we come to God? It's not our eloquence in being able to speak. It's not the tunefulness of the hymns that we sing. We take away all those things, and what God wants in our worship is a heart. The heart of worship is our hearts pointed towards God and given over to Him. And in Psalm 126, we come and we find that the Israelites once again had sinned and they had been taken into exile, this time in Babylon. And often this was the case. The nation would sin against God, and so God would warn them, if you don't get serious about your sin and about your relationship with Me, you're going to lose this promised land. And Israel was their promised land that had been given to them. And to come out of Israel was an awful shock for them. And so here, this is what has happened. They've been taken off to Babylon. But in Babylon, they've come to their senses. They've repented of their sin. They've had that moment of clarity that the younger brother had. And they've realized that they've sinned against God, and so they've returned to Him. And once they've returned to God, then they return to the promised land of Israel again. And Psalm 126 charts that process of coming back and how God brings them back. So let's read Psalm 126 together. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Amen. What a wonderful psalm that truly pictures this whole idea of returning to God. In reality, it's God who brings us back to Him. The Lord brought back the captives to Zion. And whenever they come back, because God has called them, they're filled with laughter. They're singing songs of joy. And it's the most incredible feeling to come back to God and receive His blessing after being apart from Him. And the nations that were looking on and saw that was happening to Israel were saying, the Lord has done great things for them. Look at how they've been blessed. Look at what God has done. And God turns round what seemed to be impossible. Where they had been filled with sorrow and tears, God now has brought them joy. It seemed impossible that they would ever laugh again, that they would ever be happy again because of all that had happened to them and the punishment they'd received. But now this is how God restores them. This is how God refreshes them. The person who goes out weeping comes back with songs of joy. The one who goes out with seeds to sow comes back with a full harvest. And this is what it means to return to God. to come back to him, to receive his blessing, not to remain in that faraway land, not to remain in sorrow and shame, but to repent and come back. And so that's the first week that, as we've spent in this study, returning to God. If you haven't already returned to God, do it now. If you've been contemplating returning, or maybe only given him a little bit of your life back again, give him all, because that is what he desires from us. So let's pray together. Lord God Almighty, we thank you that we can return to you. And so, Lord, as we return to you, we pray that you would restore us and refresh us. Lord, where there has been sadness, bring joy into our hearts, we pray. Where we've been lost, Lord, find us again, we pray, and give us a new purpose and a new direction. Lord, where we would go out into the world, give us seed to sow so that we would have a harvest and reap that harvest. Lord God, we long now to honour you. And Lord, we pray for revival. Revive each one of us in our own hearts, we pray. And Lord, revive this land and the people of this land, that we would truly know you and the movement of your Holy Spirit all around us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.